This morning we're going to look at Romans 8, 28 to 30. I know it's a very famous scripture, and we probably know it by heart, right? Yeah. Yes. And so we're going to... So what can we learn about trials and tribulations from the Bible? I think they're always good for our good. Right? How many of us have gone through trials and tribulation? And how did you like it when you went through it? We often don't. We kind of want to avoid issues. We kind of like to sweep things under the rug. We kind of hide and trying to blame the devil for this and that. Right? Majority of the time, it's God allowing things to happen in your life for the, because he is the potter and we're the clay. He knows what we need. Shape us and form us to become more like Christ, to be, because essentially he wants us to be like Christ. Sometimes we pray that. It's like, Lord, I really want to die to self. Lord, I really want to move into what you have called me to be doing. And so we need to get rid of things. Sometimes it's our attitude, sometimes it's our perspective, sometimes it's our whatever it is. Maybe our mistrust. So 2 Timothy 3:12, we're going to read this. Father, we just thank you for your word. And as your word penetrates and divides and opens and reveals your truth to us, I pray, Father, that you would help us take hold of it, to actually apply it to our lives. And Father, that we would be transformed more into the image of Christ. And Father, that we would truly have an utter dependence upon you. We would actually with our lives would be an act of worship. In Jesus' name. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yes, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. We all desire to live a godly life. Here's a promise from God that if you choose and desire to live a godly life, you will have fun in the sun. You will have all the fancy things of the world. People will love you. People will adore you. People will say, come on over. I really want to be with you. You have gained all the friends in the world. He doesn't promise you that. That's a different gospel. Right? We hear it. But it says, those who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. We will suffer persecution. As a believer, I think we all experience people who walked away, who chose not to be our friends any longer. We lost family members. Right? Who's more important to us? I think Christ is more important than anybody else. Not family, not friends. And that's the heart. I think that's the hardest part of our lives. We desire to see friends and family come to faith. But you know what? Who are we here to please? Who do we give an account to? It's Christ. All believers will face... all will face and give account to Christ. Right? So 2 Timothy 3, we'll say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable in for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why it's important for us to know the Word of God. Because if we don't know the Word of God, if we're not meditating on the Word of God, we can't do it by osmosis. Can't lay my head on and just hope for the best. We need to be actively in the Word of God, meditating on it as it transforms and renews our minds. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. We face some very hard trials, fiery ones, right? And you're like, how am I going to get through this? Which is to try you. So it's going to expose things in your life, right? When we go through difficulties, it exposes things. It really exposes truly who we believe in, truly exposes who we are. Is my faith even real? Am I just in love just showing up and partaking in church activities because people are nice to me? Or do I truly, really want to know Christ? Those are some really questions. Like, you know, do I really love Christ? Do I truly want to know Him? Or do I just put on a religious, like being a Pharisee? A religious act. I come to church every Sunday to look good, to smell good for a few minutes, and to live my life however I want. Or is He transforming you day in and day out? So we go through trials to really reveal what's in our hearts. It's God who's doing this, not the devil. The devil will say that if God really loved you, why would He allow you to go through this? He would put doubts in your mind. Why would a loving God allow you to go through this? And so we have to know why. He's exposing, is my faith real in Christ? Am I a true follower of Christ? Do I really desire Christ? He's exposing our hearts. That's what He's, it's your heart that He wants and desires. To try you. As though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. That when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. Through our suffering, through our trials, we learn to have joy, which is sometimes hard because we're very narrow-minded, very short-focused, right? So Romans 8:18. For I consider that this is Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It talks about the sufferings that we face today, or the sufferings that we have faced, are nothing compared to what awaits us. Because He is purifying us. So we face things to purify us, to establish us, to allow us to be rooted and grounded in Christ, to be dependent on Christ. So as we look at Romans 8:28-30, and so it says, maybe in your Bible it says, and we know. And what do we know? all things work together for good to those who love God. Who's this speaking to? The believers. Right? And so when we are in our darkest times in our life, whenever we go through difficulties, whatever we face, whatever happens, and we question where God is, we look back to, and he gives us so many promises. He says, and then when we start doubting, it's like, Lord, forgive me for doubting you, because you say in your word, and we know that all things, we know. Do we doubt that? Do we really know that all things work together for his good, for those who love him? Do we really know him? Do I know Christ? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Do I really know Christ? What do we know? Paul isn't saying that we stand around scratching our heads and wondering, well, I think, I hope, maybe this is true. But he says, we know. It's a definite thing that we need to know. Do I really know who Christ is? Do I really know that his promises are true? Do I really know that he works all things for greater good for those who love him? Do I really know that? Or do I doubt that? Do I really know him? If I know him, even through our difficulties, I will not run away. If I know him, I will going to rely on him. I will depend on him. I would say, yes, Lord, let it be. Even though I don't see the end results. And that's the difficult part. Because we like to know. But we don't always know. What are things that we do not know? That's like an open-ended question. What don't we know? Well, we don't know when the Lord's coming. But the Word of God says, be prepared in season and out of season. Be doing what he has asked you to do. That's what we do know. We're called to be doing what he's asked us to do. But we don't know the time of the hour that our Redeemer will come. We don't know when we're going to be caught up. We do not know the future. He gives us prophetic words to encourage us, to develop us, to help us to know, right? He's given us things to help us to stay true to him, to help us to realize that he's in control and we are not. I think we'd like to be in control, right? And as more and more we walk with Christ, we say, Lord, I know I'm not in control, that you are in control. Even though I do not understand the situation, I don't know why these things are happening, but I do know that you are in control, so that I know him, for we know who he is. He's sovereign. He says, my ways are not your ways. Right? Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And we try to insert who we think God should be when he's a holy, righteous God. So we try to insert who we think God should be in our own image. We're making an idol then. Rather than allowing the word of God share who he is. Right? So we could say, you know, when it says, and we know that all things work together for good for to those who love him. Well, we know not all things are good, because that'd be fallacy. We know a death of a child is not good. Right? We know that suicide is not good. We know human trafficking is not good. We know diseases are not good. And the list goes on. But he says, he works all those things that were meant for evil for his good. Why did this person die? I have no idea. Why do these bad things happen to people? I don't know. And we can wonder and doubt why God allows it. One, Satan is the ruler of this world. We know that. God allows him to do things. We know sin still reigns in this world. We see it day in and day out. Sin still operates in this world. But yet, God allows it. You think of Job. He was a righteous guy. He loved God. And God, and Satan went to God and says, well, God, Job only loves you because all that he has. And God allowed Satan to test him. Right? And he was found faithful. He truly loved God. Job loved God. It didn't matter what he lost. He lost all his kids. He lost all this. His wife even said, curse God and die. Thank God he didn't listen to his wife at the time. He said, yes, Lord. And God restored everything that was lost to him. Even more so because of his faithfulness. God allows things in your life for a purpose. And we don't always know what it is. Maybe we're going through difficulties today. Maybe we don't know what is yet to come. Right? But do we know that God is in control? Do we know him? Do we trust him? Are we keeping in step with him? If I do know what he wants, he desires, right? It's an intimacy. We know him because we have an intimacy with him. We are personal with him. We know him. We know that he's caring. He's all-knowing. He's in control. Even through the circumstances in our lives, he's in control. Psalm 46:10 is, right? 46:10 says, be still. How many of us like being still? It's a difficult thing. Be still and know that I am God. We have to be still. I think we lack that because we are so busy doing things that don't matter. Think of how many things that we do in a day that don't truly matter. And yet we are feeling, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. Are we truly knowing what the Lord wants? Or am I just doing and hoping God will bless it? Because if I know God, I will know what his will is. Be still. Do we take time every day to know him? Or do we just say, good morning, Lord, and carry on our life? But do I take time and be still? That's it's about a relationship. Just think if you met your wife every morning and says, hi, honey, goodbye. Do you know her? Eventually you won't. I know I do that sometimes, don't I? But we have to be still and get to know them. If you start to know them, you truly start to fall in love with them. And we know that all things together work for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We're called for who? God for his purpose. He saved you not for you to enjoy a life, to live however you want to live. He saved you for a purpose. And that is to reveal to others Christ in you. Not for us to live however we feel like living, but he says, according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? To share the good news. To be his hands and feet in the world. To pray. To help the widows. Help the sick. Not for us to be jet set and everywhere around the world. But are we doing what God has called us to do for his purpose? Do we desire to do his will? Because we know that he says he has a purpose for us. And people wonder, how many people in churches say, you know, Rick Warren, don't even read that book. It's Purpose-Filled Life. That's all about you. It's a man-centered gospel. We are learning about a God-centered gospel. Man-centered gospel will lead you off and say it's all about you. When this gospel is about Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. We're his instruments, used for his noble purposes, so that he gets the glory and we don't. Or do we want to be obedient to him and to his word? Do I trust him to rely on him, knowing that all things will work out for my good, his good, because I love him, even though I don't see it, the difficulty for it. You know, in Romans 8:23, we groan inwardly as we eagerly wait. For what? Our redemption. We groan because we know there's a future. God wants to change us. And we get transformed. The spirit gets transformed, renewed. But our bodies won't be regenerated until we meet Christ in the air. We get a perfect body. We groan for what yet we don't see. But we wait eagerly. We wait patiently. We keep in step with Christ. In verse 25 of Romans 8:25 it says, we wait patiently for our redemption of our body. That's why we groan. Because we are waiting for that day. God promises that he causes every circumstance to conform the believer to the image of Christ. He's transforming us. And we don't like it at times. We like to struggle. And boy, do we get tired. Right? I've struggled with the Lord. Because I want to do my own thing. I'm like, after a while, I'm tired, fed up, angry, and bitter. It's like, why? Because I'm being disobedient. Philippians 1, 11-14. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Right? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to be to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brother, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Who's speaking? Here is the apostles are facing difficulty. You go through a lot of the apostles. They all die. Right? You look at all the gospels, everything. They died. For the glory of Christ. When they suffered, they were like, praise God, I'm suffering. I find it joyful. Through the whippings, through the jailing, through the beatings, through the shipwrecks, you name it, what they went through, they we're praising God before it. You think, boy, they must have been really cuckoo. But it showed you how much they loved, adored, how much their hearts were sold out for Christ. I would want some of that. In my own life, I would like to have that love and passion for Him, even though when I face difficulties, I'll be, Lord, I'm praising You. Right? Don't we all want to be like that? And we, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. So when He was facing this, it was coming evident to the palace guards and to all the rest that My chains are in Christ. He's seeing the joy and the peace that He had, even though He's jailed up. He was praising God. Verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in My by My chains. So the people who are seeing Him go through difficulties and trials, seeing how He was facing it, how the joy, the peace, the comfort He had, even though He was chained and being jailed, they become more, the church was becoming more confident, more assured in what was happening. And then are much more bold to speak. So the church started to become more bold for what was happening. And they were speaking with boldness of the word, without fear. All because of trials and tribulations. So truly, Romans 8:28, all things work for those who love God. And we see that through the scriptures time and time again. Maybe we'll do Romans. I don't have enough time, but Romans 8, we're going to do, I haven't even left for this chapter or verse. Romans 8, 35 to 36, we have it on the thing. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is Romans 8, 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, shall that separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 36, as it is written, for Your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ. More than conquerors through Christ. Yeah, well, raised through Christ. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. How many of us are fearful of the future? You know, I think in Matthew it talks about, Jesus even says that the birds of the air don't even worry about what they're going to eat or where they're going to sleep. How much more does God love you? I'm not saying that we just all quit our jobs and do whatever, but we need to be doing it. But don't worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. Today has enough things to deal with. We don't get complacent. We don't, you know, just don't put your head in the sand. I'm not saying that. But trust the Lord that He has all things prepared. As we grow in trust, read His word and meditate on His word, falling in love with Him, that I don't have to worry about what tomorrow's going to bring. Don't listen to the news. Somebody was saying, did you hear about the happenings? And I said, no, I don't like listening to the news. It's all garbage. It brings depression. It puts you in chains and shackles and makes you fearful of what tomorrow's going to bring. My Lord is sufficient. He knows what's going to happen. He says, keep your eyes on me. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created or other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. None of these things will can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't it give you hope? It's like assured hope. It's not like I'm scratching. I hope it's so. I hope this is real. I hope this is true. Hopefully I'm not believing a lie. That's where Satan comes in. He brings doubt in. He twists things. So whose voice are we listening to? If you start doubting the word of God, you're not hearing God's voice. You're hearing the voice of Satan. God always brings joy, peace, assurance, comfort, strength, ability to persevere. He builds character in your lives. I know we're doing, on Tuesday night, we're doing growing in godly character. How can I grow in godly character? God wants you to grow in character. Right? Are we growing in character? Are we becoming more like Christ every day? Hope of the believer is not that we will escape distress or peril or hunger or slaughter, but the Almighty God will make every one of our trials, every agony that we face, make it an instrument for his showing his mercy and his grace. He's refining us, he's transforming us through all these difficulties, that we would reveal the life of Christ in this dark world. I mean, it's just, and we're praying. Don't we pray for this? Lord, use me. Oh, we sing this. Do we believe what we sing? Do we really know what we are singing? We sing it. We say it. But do I really, truly know what I'm saying? We say a lot of things. When the rubber meets the road, are we doing what we say we're doing? Are we allowing God to transform our hearts through trials and difficulties? And I'm facing stuff even now. You know, I can remember when the difficulty, and it's the unknown, I don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing. I know who God is. I know one thing. I didn't go out and just do it because of I felt like I should do it. There's a different thing. If I go out and commit murder or do this, there's consequences for our sins. But if he never went out and intentionally do something wrong, God will honor that. So I guess next week we'll, I don't know, we'll pick up. I got a few things. Quite a few. Might get out of verse 28. You are called according to his purpose. He redeemed you for a purpose. Is to reveal Christ to the pair of people who are dying, who are separated. We are the lamps. We are the light in this dark world. We are supposed to be sharing the gospel. heart. Because we like to be liked. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that you are transforming us as we surrender to you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you are purifying us. And I pray, Lord, that we would surrender to you, to truly know you, that we truly desire to spend time with you, to meditate on your word, to be filled with your word, so your word would open up and reveal things in our lives where we perhaps are not surrendered to you wholeheartedly. And I pray, Lord, as we face difficulties and trials, Lord, that we would have joy because our faith is in you, our trust is in you, our reliance is in you. But Lord, thank you that you know the end. You know the beginning and the end. You know what we need to become more utterly dependent on you. So Father, give us ears to hear your voice only. And Father, we take captive every thought that would set up stuff against the knowledge of Christ. And we would put on the full armor of God. Lord, we know we are in a spiritual battle. Lord, I pray that we would not hear any other voice but yours. Lord, let us praise you today. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to finish up with one song. And as you had said, it's like, do we really know and do we really mean what we sing? And do we really believe what we read? And of course, we can't, not without the Holy Spirit's help. Yep. Philippians 1:21 says this. I'll start at 19. For I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yeah. Whom shall we fear? Who is our desire? Lord, help us to truly sing and believe. In Jesus' name. It's just a simple song. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than a riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the and be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything in this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name.
Jesus, anything in this world.